Sometimes we hear a word or a phrase in the Bible or in church, and we hear it so many times that we don't have to even think very hard about it anymore. We just simply get it without too much effort. And we absorb that word or phrase or idea totally and completely into our spiritual imaginations so that it becomes a sort of stock image for our imaginations from which we pull symbols for God and the Christian life. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, just think about a dove or a sheep or a star. We can put pictures of things like doves and sheep and stars on the cover of things, on the cover of the bulletin or the notices or on postcards or different pictures. And we know that if we put a picture of that there, you will understand what we're talking about. You will understand what that symbol means, what it's about. The dove is a symbol for peace and the Holy Spirit. The sheep is a symbol of Jesus' care for us and our place in his flock. The star is a symbol for Jesus' birth, as well as our act of being led or inspired or guided. You know what I mean. On the cover of your notices today is another one of those stock Christian images. What is it? You can call it out. It's an eagle. Someone said at the 9 o'clock service, it's a dove. And I was like, that's a fierce dove. I don't know where you're hunting for dove, but you should stay away. It's an eagle. Because the eagle is right up there in the pantheon of core metaphors for life with God. And it shows up in the Bible all over the place to symbolize who God is and how God is and how God cares for us. Shows up in Deuteronomy chapter 32. As an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, as it spreads its wings, takes them up, and bears them aloft on its pinions, the Lord alone guided them. No foreign god was with them. The eagle pops up in the Psalms, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, who forgives your iniquity, heals your diseases, crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, satisfies you with good and long life, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. In Isaiah, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not be faint. And then most famously, the eagle shows up in our passage from Exodus that we heard today. Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. I have a hunch, if I started singing the song, and you know the one I'm talking about, you could sing it with me. Eagle's wings. But the truth is that sometimes our pet stock images for God and the Christian faith can become trite and one-dimensional, to the point that they don't really provoke or inspire or challenge us anymore. They stop being anything more than vague sentimentality. And the additional truth is that sometimes our pet stock images for God and the Christian faith actually stem from very poor biblical translations. Now, I'm sure this comes as a total and complete surprise to you, but occasionally in Christian history, folks have promoted ideas or words as being biblical truth that comply more with their own personal private notions and preferences than what is actually in the Bible. I know that's a shocker to you. Such is the case with the eagle. The word that is translated in Deuteronomy and Isaiah and the Psalms and in Exodus as eagle is the Hebrew word nesher. But most scholars agree that griffin vulture is an even better translation. It does not take an ancient linguist or biblical scholar to realize that this substitution changes more than a little about the passage. It is totally different to see Israel on the back of a vulture flying to the Lord. Or to hear the psalmist say that our youth is renewed like a vulture's. Or to read in Deuteronomy that as a vulture stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, as it spreads its wings and takes them up and bears them aloft on its pinions, the Lord guides us as a vulture. I don't know about you. Maybe you love vultures. Maybe you do. But for me, vultures conjure up images of, you know, cartoonish, scrawny, bald heads on long, skinny necks, an ominous circling around roadkill beside highways, and the way that they, like, vomit at things that they perceive as being threats to them. Did you know that vultures do that? Don't go near a vulture, it will vomit at you. It's really amazing. So this whole thing, this substitution of vultures for eagles is, well, it's hard to get my head around, you know, this particular metaphor for life with God. And yet, maybe we need to give this some real legitimate thought, because maybe this is exactly what we need to hear. I'm not convinced that all of our focus on the Christian stock image of an eagle has been doing all that much good for us in the development of our spiritual imaginations. And in fact, I think it may have kept us too comfortable and too complacent and too stuck in a rut. Eagles are, after all, symbols of empires. In our country, we name jets after them and put them on our nation's great seal because eagles are strong and menacing and above all deadly. And lots of other countries use eagles in the exact same way too. After all, if you have ever seen an eagle in real life, in the wild, it is a memorable experience. It evokes something in you because of its power and its speed. We want life with God to be like riding on an eagle, because we want to be cruising around with an alpha predator who isn't afraid of anything. We want to be fast and strong, and we want to be in command. We want to ride along with a God like that, to be carried along through life on the back of a feathered F-15. And yet, our obsession with an eagle-like faith may have more to say about us than about God. Despite all of our talk about Jesus in church, most of us prefer a Zeus-like God over a Christ-like God. We struggle to overcome our desire for power and control and might and victory to get it out of our system. And it affects deeply how we know who God is, how we interpret God. Yet when we look at the Gospels, the God who shows up on the face of the earth and walks around does not seem all that interested in the trappings of an eagle-like faith. He isn't obsessed with eagle-like things, like power and speed and ferocity. His characteristics are patience and mercy and forgiveness. When he sees the harassed and helpless crowd in today's gospel, Matthew says he has compassion for them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. And his response is to heal their sick, to cure their diseases, to give hope to the poor, not to dive bomb or to attack or to behave ferociously. Vultures may have a less than stellar public image, admittedly, what with their gangly looks and their strange dietary habits. But if we think about the nature of life with God and the feeling of riding along with God, maybe it's a whole lot more like riding with a vulture than we'd like to admit. I recently read a book called Consider the Birds by Debbie Blue, a book that I could not recommend highly enough to you. Magnificent book. And in it, Debbie Blue has this to say. Faith for me is not like the strong, smooth, sure of itself eagles soaring, but rather the weighty, waiting, wobbly, awkward circling of those blown by the merest whiffs of the wind turkey vultures. Faith is more like circling than seizing, It is being lifted by thermals more than flying by the power of our individual wings. I don't know about you, but I feel like I know what she means. As much as I want a God who will swoop down and grab me and fly straight at any problem or challenge in my life with talons out, you know, like on the cover of your notices today, the life with God that I have known for my 38 years is a whole lot more like riding up and down on the drafts of air and cruising along with a destination in mind, but without being in too much of a hurry. It has taken me a long time to get comfortable with a Lord who carries me more like a turkey vulture than an eagle. But I've come to understand that the ride is beautiful. And here's one more reason why the vulture should climb higher in our spiritual imaginations as a metaphor for our life with God. You see, the Latin scientific name for a turkey vulture is Cathartes aura. Those of you who know a little Latin are probably already starting to parse this out. It literally means the golden purifier. It's a strange name for a turkey vulture, isn't it? And yet, vultures are able to take things in that would be toxic to anyone and anything else and swallow them down. The rot and decay of death go through a vulture's body and come out harmless. Cathartes aura purifies the world of death and makes it clean. I think the Mayans had it right when they called vultures death eaters. You see, my friends, though our journey with God may wobble and look a little unsightly at times, it's okay. Though this ride of life may feel more like circling than dive bombing, we don't have to be afraid. For you see, we soar on the wings of a death-eating God. And all of God's people said, Amen.